It has provided the city with a more efficient and effective way to do our monitoring. We completed 1 year of monitoring in 2011. The first year, we'll be providing the data in reports, but we're also using that data to populate a communication tool that I'll talk about a little bit more that will help Portlanders understand the improvements that we're making around watershed health. The other type of monitoring we do is project effectiveness monitoring. You'll see that in the left slide. We actually monitor many of our green infrastructure projects to make sure they're doing what they're designed to do, and in some cases, we use that information to improve them or to adjust the design of them. Another key milestone that we have completed is the development of a terrestrial ecology enhancement strategy. So when the Portland Watershed Management Plan was adopted in 2006, it was recognized that it was very heavily focused on aquatic and riparian habitats, and that it really didn't say a lot about what the city's efforts need to be as far as upland habitats go. I mean, watershed health really does start in the uplands, and while it manifests itself in the streams and groundwater, we cannot just focus our efforts solely in the rivers and in the streams. We actually need to do focus attention in the upland habitats. This strategy enables us to do that more effectively. The strategy was completed in 2009. It was updated in 2011, and we've actively been applying it through implementation of the Portland Watershed Management Plan. The strategy is not a separate plan. It actually is one of the foundational and scientifically based documents and pieces of the Portland Watershed Management Plan. And so it provides multiple benefits to the city and to our partners for ensuring that our upland habitats are both protected, enhanced, and that we are addressing watershed health in a very holistic manner and not just in the water itself. And finally, we completed a 5-year implementation strategy for the Portland Watershed Management Plan. In your packets, you'll have a copy of that almost hot off the press. This is not a new plan. What we recognize through this process is that the Portland Watershed Management Plan is still a very relevant document. What the strategy does is it pulls together some common elements from existing plans and strategies that relate to watershed health, and it communicates a direction and opportunities for the next 5 years of implementation for the Portland Watershed Management Plan. This effort was completed with input from multiple bureaus and also community partners. It was not a controversial process. I think generally there was consensus that we are headed in the right direction. But what this strategy allows us to do is that it will allow us to inform some budget discussions, to focus both internal work planning and some of the work of our partners. And it also will help inform planning efforts throughout the city, such as the city's update to the comprehensive plan. So the strategy actually helps outline in much more detail than I'm going to go into here what's ahead.
We need to wrap up.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
We got a lot of people.
Okay. So basically, Dean talked about the efforts that we've made for the combined sewer system. We are going to continue stream and upland restoration projects. We have sub-watershed plans and other city planning efforts that will be used along with the Portland Watershed Management Plan for doing those. We've developed programmatic approaches such as green infrastructure approaches that are now part of how the city does business, and that is actually going to continue, and that is continued implementation of the Portland Watershed Management Plan. The one thing I alluded to was the Watershed Health Index. So this is where we're taking the data from PawMap. We're populating a more simplified communication tool that we will come and talk to you more about. And what this is going to enable us to do is to show Portlanders where we are at in improving watershed health. So it's a good tool for those of us that aren't scientists. And finally, you know, there's continued importance to this work. We need to continue to meet regulatory obligations. We need to reduce the city's risk to its existing infrastructure, and also to provide current level of services that we've defined. We will continue to save ratepayer dollars through this approach, and we will continue to meet multiple city goals. And finally, it does provide us with one of the tools for addressing climate change and building community resiliency. We have a few community partners along with city partners that are going to provide their perspective on the Portland Watershed Management Plan, so I'd like to welcome Susan Anderson and Micah Pate first. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning, Commissioners. Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. excuse me. I'm here to support the implementation strategy. 5 or 6 years ago, council adopted the city's first watershed plan, and since then, watershed health has really become really integrated into all of the efforts going on in the Planning Bureau. For example, when we adopted the airport futures plan, we worked closely with BES and the port to identify ways to do on-site mitigation and off-site mitigation. As part of the climate action plan, we looked at healthy watersheds as a way to affect adaptation. In the tree project, it was recognized that a healthy urban forest will help to meet watershed goals. And most recently, in the Portland plan, watershed management is an important part of the healthy, connected neighborhood strategy. Similarly, as we work out the state-mandated comprehensive plan for adoption and eventual approval by the state, we're taking many different actions to promote healthy watersheds. One of those things is that we're required to do a new natural resource inventory for the whole city. We've been working on that for a couple of years, and this will be completed this summer and brought to you. Second, we will adopt various watershed health goals around water quality, habitat, and biodiversity. And third, we'll explore connections among watershed health and equity and public health. And finally, the five-year implementation strategy calls for addressing bird and wildlife-friendly design policies in the comprehensive plan and in the central city plan. Staff in the Green Building Program and the urban design staff, along with staff from other bureaus, are working on information and guidelines. A partnership led by the Portland Audubon with the city, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and local architects are working to develop such kinds of bird-friendly building designs. So I want to thank BES for their leadership on this issue, and I look forward to a continuing partnership. Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning. Mike Abate, Parks and Recreation Director. Portland Parks and BES are partners in this, and I think particularly a model of interbureau collaboration, two large city bureaus working together to accomplish multiple shared objectives for the citizens of Portland. We work together on stream and upland restoration projects, acquiring natural areas, removing invasive species in our watersheds, and the watershed management plan and now this update are instrumental in moving projects forward that benefit park users, treat stormwater, and continue to improve the health of our natural environment and our citizens. There are four sort of major areas where we find a lot of collaboration in capital restoration projects, restoring sites, in invasive species removal and tree planting, in acquisition, and in park operations. And I just mention a couple to keep my remarks short. In the restoration projects category, we've worked with BES to restore a large wetland complex, huge one at called Big Four Corners Natural Area. It's in far northeast Portland at the edge of the city in the Columbia Slough to treat stormwater and improve habitat. Invasive species removal and tree planting, the entire Tabor to the River project is one where BES and Portland Parks have been working together with the Friends of Mount Tabor to remove invasive species at Mount Tabor. And in acquisition, a couple of really key projects. The purchase of the Riverview Natural Area, protecting 146 acres of upland and riparian habitat and six streams. And those streams enter the Willamette River at Powers Marine Park, and adding cold water, protected cold water to the Willamette for salmon health. And then the joint purchase of the Wilkes Headwater site in far northeast Portland for both an active park, but also protecting water quality of a headwater stream. In summary, the Portland Watershed Management Plan and the update provide direction for parks and the city to continue to work to improve watershed health, and implementation of the plan's actions have really forged that strong collaboration between Portland Parks and BES for planning, constructing, and maintaining projects that treat stormwater, protect and enhance natural areas, and provide access to nature for our citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So the next invited testimony, we have Brian Birch, Neighborhood Tree Steward and Friends of Tree Volunteer. Brian Heather, President, Founder of Solterra Systems, Eco Roofs, and Solar. And Ted Labby. Well, you don't look like Ted Labby. Are you of DPAVE, with DPAVE?
I'm actually here
for... Oh, there's Ted. I'm sorry.
I'm here for Brian Heather.
Okay.
I'm Andrea Moore. I'm the Design Director for Solterra Systems.
Okay. Well, why don't we start with you, Andrea?
So our company, we specialize in eco-roof design. We're a design build firm. And some of the things that I want to outline today are just some of the kind of the benefits of eco roofs, not only for the building owner, but also how they can benefit the city. Essentially, an eco roof is what it's doing is it's protecting the entire roof layer, the membrane. So it's going to increase the length, the longevity of the lifetime of the roof. And it's also going to, because of that soil layer, it's going to cause a large amount of insulation. So you get noise reduction and you also get a large amount of energy savings. Kind of like with us, buildings lose most of their heat through their roof. That's also where they get a lot of their heat gain because that's the main solar surface. So by putting an eco roof on there, you're really protecting that. It's absorbing that heat, and it's not going into your building. So in the summertime, they found that extensive eco roofs save about 70% in air conditioning, depending on the size of the building, of course, and the amount of soil. But that soil also mitigates water. It collects a lot of that stormwater. If you use the right soil combination as well as the right retention layers for the filter fabrics underneath the soil, it actually the plants help take care of the stormwater management. That is obviously beneficial for the watershed, but then it's also beneficial to the building owner because they can pay less as far as stormwater management. It increases the air quality around the building as well as reduces the heat island effect in cities and urban environments. And as far as kind of how this can benefit the building long term is it creates a large amount of marketability for the building tenants as well as the building owner to resell or to bring people in because they're going to have a large amount of savings as a tenant. Our building currently is in this southeast industrial area. And with the eco roof and addition of solar panels, we save about 70% of our total energy savings, which goes right down to us in the building as well as the building owner. One thing that we're also seeing is that a lot of buildings like our own needed a large amount of structural upgrades to be able to sustain an eco roof. And one thing that we're finding is that as eco roofs become more popular, that there are a lot of people that are developing new ways and new approaches to make them more efficient. One of the things is they're actually using recycled building insulation in the soil now as a combination to allow it to be more lightweight. So you can use it on more buildings that structurally wouldn't necessarily be able to manage them. So we're seeing a lot of growth as well as a lot of benefits.
I hate to do this, but because we're backed up and we have the chief here, I'm going to ask everybody just to limit themselves to 2 minutes, and then we're going to take this to a vote. But thank you very much for being here. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'm Brian Birch. I'm a president of the Sylvan Highlands Neighborhood Association, and I'm also a Portland tree steward and have been for several years. I'm employed by the University of Oregon, and I am the wildlife conservator for the Cottrell Wildlife Refuge, which is a 14-acre throughway between Forest Park and Washington Park. I'm active with Portland Parks, and I'm a crew leader at Friends of Trees, and I'm also on the Urban Forestry Commission's Education and Outreach Program. Bottom line, I'm a tree hugger. The other morning, I assisted students at Woodmere Elementary School plant 16 trees around their campus and led the kindergarten and the first graders in potting up vine maple saplings with our bare hands in the rain. And over, I heard one student tell another, this is my tree. I heard it again during the 2009 Dig It event, which I organized along with the sixth graders at the East Sylvan Middle School, Portland Parks, and City Nature. Children learn that their tree requires care, commitment, and patience so it can grow up to do its job of beautifying and cleaning our environment, as well as keeping polluted stream water out of streams and rivers, which is why I was asked to speak to you today. While Portland Parks and every line on the city's budget is being reduced, it is necessary to foster programs that encourage volunteerism. With staffing reductions over the past several years, it is programs encouraging community involvement that fill in the gaps. Whatever it costs, committed volunteers are worth it. If staff members of City Nature had not come to one of my neighborhood association meetings, I would not have learned about the Neighborhood Tree Program, Tree Stewardship Program. It's a steal, $45, 6 weeks. You learn everything you want to know about trees and how to deal with them. And through stewardship, those stewardship efforts began, when stewardship efforts begin, like planting vine maples with kids, I personally have been able to reach, lead, or teach 1,000 children, adolescents, and adults with face-to-face individual contact about the natural world and about these community programs and what they inspire. I would like to thank you all for the programs that do plant trees, that mitigate invasive plants, particularly ivy, clematis, and garlic mustard. Please get rid of these. They improve our streets.
We're on it.
And the health, I know you are, of our streams and rivers, and I've been doing it myself, and generally encourage people to get involved with their community in their community. I thank you very much for this time.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, City Council. My name is Ted Labby. I'm a native Oregonian and a biologist and a volunteer leader with the volunteer-powered group DPAVE. DPAVE is a Portland nonprofit, partners with willing landowners to transform underutilized pavement into community gardens, pocket parks, rain garden retrofits, and other beneficial uses. Our work meets multiple city goals of stormwater management, access to nature, meeting the demand for community garden space, and others that are central to the watershed management plan. This watershed management plan is our plan, too, and we are partners in helping implement it. We target our work to underserved neighborhoods that lack their fair share of parks and green space. As Portland grows more dense, the demand for accessible, walkable green space is increasing, and we are here to help fill that need. DPAVE gets inquiries from all over the world, but we started here with the idea that citizen action in our backyards can help achieve our community goals as expressed in the Watershed Management Plan and Greater Green Initiatives. Since 2007, we have worked at over 25 sites and helped remove over 94,000 square feet of pavement, mostly at schools and churches, but at other sites too, like a homeless shelter and an affordable co-housing community. As a result of this work, over 3 million gallons of stormwater is diverted from storm drains and rivers annually. We do this work in partnership with the city and other community organizations. This work wouldn't be possible without funding assistance, technical support, and permitting assistance from the city. We are well poised to help implement the city's watershed management goals on private lands, keeping project costs low and engaging neighbors in all the backbreaking fun. And I'm looking at you, Commissioner Fish, because you've broken your back multiple times for us at some of our sites. And Commissioner Fish has been there.
I've been released from traction after 6 months, yeah. So I appreciate that.
And I know Amanda has been there. And,
yeah, but I volunteer on the registration desk.
Yes. As well as Mayor Sam Adams. So we really appreciate your support. Let's keep working together on this. This plan is important, and we're really excited to be partners with the city on it.
And, Ted, this past weekend we opened our 41st community garden at Fraser Park, and DPAVE was there to remove the asphalt that allowed us to put in that garden. And I believe the one prior to that was Vermont Hills, and it's a wonderful community-building exercise. I don't recommend it for people that have back problems, but for hardier souls, it's a way to get great exercise and be involved in doing great work. And you also won the Spirit of Portland Award last year, so congratulations for all that you do.
Thank you for nominating us.
Who has anyone signed up to testify?
Yes, we have two people signed up.
Thank you all.
Bob Solinger and Nancy Newell.
Good morning, Mr. Salinger.
Good morning.
Nancy, welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't you start, Bob?
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. I served on the Watershed Advisory Committee for the better part of a decade, and I chaired it for a while as well. So we're here in support of all of this work that's being done. We think it's really important work. When the watershed plan was adopted, I think three really important principles came forward. The first was recognizing the importance of protecting the entire landscape, that it's not just the areas right next to our riparian areas, our streams and our creeks, but the entire landscape affects our water quality. And we need to look at the uplands as well. The second thing was to take an integrated approach, to recognize that we have all these different mandates, and historically we've addressed them separately, and I think we've rightfully criticized municipalities for dealing with them in silos because it's expensive, and you don't get the synchronicities when you integrate them all, and the watershed plan brought all these different mandates together into one package and looked at outcomes rather than simply addressing them one at a time. And The third was a commitment to funding. I remember testifying when we adopted that plan and saying, well, this is great. These are words on a page. But, you know, we've been here before. We've done plans like this before, and we haven't implemented them. And the city really followed through and instituted the Grady Green program and really kicked this thing into high gear. And the results are apparent today. I have three concerns I want to highlight for you going forward. The first is our commitment to funding. Are we going to continue to do what we've been doing for the last several years and build upon it? Grady Green expires this year, and we need to add in a new program, move it forward, and keep it going. Maintenance and protection of our watershed is an ongoing effort. It took a long time to get here. It's going to take a long time to repair the damage, and we're going to have to keep doing this. The second thing is our commitment to an integrated approach. The city has been criticized for using stormwater money for things other than stormwater. Are these appropriate expenditures? My answer is absolutely. We actually save the city money by looking at these things in unison, and we need to recognize that it is all integrated. And the third is we need to really integrate this into the comp plan. One of the things that the watershed plan recognized was that we need to do this with all city projects, look at the opportunities with all city projects. And we've done a good job of that, but we're not there yet. And I think the comp plan is the vehicle to really make sure that every bureau is thinking about watershed health every time we do a project. So I will end by simply inviting you to an event that's coming up. We have a bird-friendly building design forum coming up. We've been working with the city, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on this. Susan Anderson mentioned it as well. Bird strikes on buildings are actually the number one cause of bird mortalities after habitat destruction. And a lot of cities have moved forward on this issue. Portland could be the next one in line. So I'll leave you with these today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the time. I'm from Citizens for Portland's Water. My name is Nancy Newell. I wanted to get this on the record because there's some very serious concerns for our city related to privatization of our drinking water primarily right now. But there is a funder in the city for EcoTrust called General Electric who's also interested in water in a different respect from toilet to tap, which also includes using storm water as a source of drinking water as one of their future plans. Why I'm concerned is we are partnered, I think, with Wilsonville in some situations on how watersheds and water is handled, drinking water is handled, and that is presently owned by an international firm called Veolia. We are also in the process of submitting a bond that was reviewed by one of the members of our group, and the status of the bonds of the city at this point are really threatening the very ability to control ownership of our water. The projected deadline is 2016, that we will be in such deep debt, and if you refer to page 54 of the first lien water system revenue bond, 2011 Series A, and there's a CUSIP reference number as well, if you refer to page 54, we will be in such debt that we will easily be overtaken by the banks that hold the bonds, and the water will be privatized. All our considerations of quality of water as far as drinking, of watershed management, and I'm calling attention to this because Maude Barlow, who's the international expert on human right to water and sanitation, cited our city as in danger from takeovers just by virtue of default. So I am alerting the public to this, and I feel that the dangers involved would be what kind of water we'd be drinking, and we wouldn't have the regulatory ability to stop these multinational corporations from changing the very nature of how we handle sanitation as well as whether we'd even have water, drinking water at our tap. Thank you.
That concludes the testimony.
Okay. Before we move to vote, I guess I just water is clean, clear, pure, as untreated as the law allows, safe. Drinking water is key, as is safe, productive, positive stormwater as well. And I think it would be over every single person's dead body that it would ever be privatized up here. And I would imagine over the dead body of most of Portlanders, although I haven't asked them all. So I just want to rest assure folks we have no interest, no desire to move in that direction. Final thoughts or go to a vote?
Go to a vote.
Okay. Can you please call the vote?
Fish?
Well, thank you for an excellent presentation, and Portland Parks and Rec is very proud to partner with Bureau of Environmental Services and our other government and nonprofit partners in working to protect and preserve our watershed. And Commissioner Saltzman, thank you for your leadership in this area. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thanks to the Bureau of Environmental Services, our partners at Planning and Sustainability and Parks, and many other bureaus also involved in watershed management. And thanks to all of our citizens and organizations that are taking this plan to heart and making it a reality. So thank you all. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thanks for taking the time to do this presentation and explain to citizens why it matters and what we're doing. I remember the first time I met Dean Marriott was at the late, great Patty Lee's house, and he talked soon after he had taken over the leadership of the Bureau of Environmental Services, and he talked about the ship of state takes a while to turn around, and the changing from the previous ways of doing things would take a while to do. This report shows me that indeed, we are heading in the right direction now and that we have a grasp. But I know from my emails that a lot of folks in Portland are still needing more information about why we do what we do and why it matters and why it's cost-effective to do it this way rather than the old way. So I very much appreciate, Commissioner Saltzman, your leadership on this, bringing this report. Aye.
Adams.
Well, as the initial author of the Portland Watershed Management Plan, when I was commissioner in charge of Bureau of Environmental Services, it's great to see how you, Commissioner Saltzman, have taken the initial hopes and vision and strategy and just taken it to a whole new positive level. Congratulations to you and to your team. It's very exciting, and it's amazing how interested the nation and beyond are in these efforts, and especially the part about sort of what to some initially sounds counterintuitive, that this is actually the most cost-effective way to go. But we're making headway, that the great pipes definitely have their place, but they don't have to go every place and be the only solution for every stormwater issue. So congratulations, everybody. Aye.